Think about your daily commute to work. Maybe you drive 90 minutes one way, maybe you walk 3 blocks and you're there. For a lot of us, about a half hour each way is the most we're going to want to put up with. Our next guest says that's been true throughout much of human history, and it's created cities as different as ancient Rome and modern-day Chicago. Jonathan English is a PhD candidate in urban planning at Columbia University. He recently wrote about this for City Lab in a piece titled "The Commuting Principle That Shaped Urban History." Jonathan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks very much for having me.
Well, tell us about this half-hour idea. You write that it's called the Marchetti constant.
Yeah, that's right. It's named after a scholar named Cesare Marchetti, although the idea has been percolating from a number of other people over time. But the basic idea is that people will travel about 30 minutes each way on average in their daily commute. Now, I say on average because, you know, some people go 2 hours, some people, yeah, will only walk 3 blocks. But it has held true remarkably well throughout history. Right now in the U.S., 26 minutes is the U.S. average. And this is important because as the average speeds, not the top speeds, the average speeds of transportation technologies change from foot to tram to car, that defines effectively how big cities can grow. And the size of cities relative to their populations determines things like how big our homes are, how expensive land is, and a lot of other things.
And this really changes over time, as you say, whether we're walking to work or taking some kind of train or driving. You have great visuals showing, you know, I think of ancient Rome as this huge sprawling metropolis. But then when you show it compared to, say, 1800s London or modern day Chicago or Atlanta, it was tiny because of the Marchetti constant, right?
Exactly, because everybody in ancient Rome more or less was walking, or at least moving at a walking pace on a horse-drawn vehicle. Roughly speaking, a walking city is about 2 miles in diameter. And sure enough, you call, and that covers only a little over 3 square miles in area. So, you know, you talk about London, historic London is called the square mile. It's only 1 square mile. and it grew after. And then when the streetcar was invented, it could go quite a bit quicker. Let's say it could go, instead of 1 mile, it could go about 4 miles in that half hour. So that city could then cover 50 square miles. So from 3 to 50 square miles is a huge difference. And so that's why cities, you know, you started to see a lot more single family homes or townhouses instead of the really congested living that most people had in the walking city.
And it's pretty amazing to think about being crammed into that space. If you were a rich ancient Roman dude, you probably didn't live that far from the really poor ancient Roman dudes living in that really maybe very packed and maybe squalid housing unit.
Well, that's right. And, you know, the conditions that we have no idea how bad conditions were in cities as recently as 100, 150 years ago. You know, people wrote about piles of manure in the streets of New York City that were, 6 feet high, as tall as a person. From horses. So, and people lived, you know, 5, 6, 7 to a room, because land was at, you know, counterintuitively, people were living in these horrible conditions because land was so expensive, because everybody had to live within this very short distance from where they worked. Once people were able to live at a much greater distance, land became less valuable because there was effectively a lot more of it that could be used within a city. And as land becomes less valuable, people can use more of it. And when we had the car invented, so now we had this 40-mile diameter expressway city, roughly. So from the streetcar city of 50 square miles, you're now talking about a car city of 1,250 square miles, which, you know, in Europe or something is a decent chunk of a country. And you know, as we see in the U.S., there are a lot of cities that take up, you know, a good chunk when you count all their suburbs of a whole state. And then you start to run into these problems of enormous consumption of land, where where we're having this huge effect on the landscape.
Talking to Jonathan English about a piece he wrote for City Lab called The Commuting Principle That Shaped Urban History. Generally, as humans, whether we're walking, driving, or whatever, we don't want to commute much more than a half an hour if we can avoid it. We asked you on the Ideas Network Facebook page about your commute. Laura said her commute is 12 minutes. Her husband's is 7. Laura says, I would not agree to more than a half an hour commute again. But Eric writes, up north, 90 minutes one way is common. Natasha says she spends a minimum of 2 hours in the car every day. Natasha says, in my daydreams, I don't own a car. So what happens there, Jonathan? We expand, we have this higher range because of the car, and we still build ourselves an environment where we drive way further, a lot of us, than we really want to.
Well, that's exactly right. And people are commuting or having longer and longer or more challenging commuting times, although these averages aren't changing as much. And we're also seeing the price of land skyrocket in especially the bigger city, because what we haven't seen is any new transportation technology. So for 100 years, from about 1850 or to about 1950, roughly speaking, we had a situation where there was an enormous amount of technological change, from the streetcar to the car, to the car with the expressway, that allowed people to cover a far greater distance than they could before. But really, since 1960, there haven't really been any new transportation technologies. We're still reliant on the same car and expressway that that we have been using for 50 years. And that means that cities are starting to get more crowded again as their populations grow, but they can't actually physically expand because of this very same constraint.
Now, we heard from Jackie on Facebook, who says living close to work and not having to drive is the single biggest quality of life improvement she's ever made. Are we kind of intentionally changing our commutes? It seems like a lot of people find that walkable community more desirable now. Are we going to artificially change the rules now?
Well, you know, and I think the thing is, it's not necessarily as much of an artificial change as we think that it is. Because in 1955 or 1960, 1965, when they were building the first interstate highways, you really could drive pretty fast. So, you know, you could drive 60 miles an hour, even at rush hour. But that didn't last more than a few years. And as congestion on these highways got worse and worse and worse, commutes out to suburban locations got longer and longer and longer. And that means that people are really rediscovering the idea of living in a city where, instead of a 45-minute or longer drive, they're looking at a 20-minute walk or 25-minute walk to work. And that's a lot more appealing to them. So we're seeing this kind of urban revival across the United States, where people are maybe willing to move into older neighborhoods where they can walk to amenities instead of having to drive everywhere and deal with traffic congestion.
We've taken a whirlwind tour of the past and present of commuting. Jonathan, what are you watching for in the future?
Well, I think in a way, part of the problem that we face is that there are no obvious technological solutions on the horizon the way that, say, there were in the 1930s. In the 1930s, people invented this idea of the expressway, and we knew that this was something that was going to come, and it was just a matter of spending money on it. But now there are new technologies like automated cars, but that doesn't necessarily solve much of the congestion issue on our highways that we have. There are other options like telecommuting, for example, but there are certain human psychological limitations that seem to be limiting the adoption of that, even though the technology has been around for a few years now. So I think, honestly, the future, it's not as exciting to say, but might look a little bit like more of the same. You know, people are going to have to start in places where population is growing, living maybe on slightly smaller lots or living in more apartments, just because nobody wants to so many people want the big house with the big yard, but they're not willing to to drive an hour and a half each day, or at least most people aren't, to make that happen anymore. So I think what we might see, at least for the foreseeable future, you know, barring flying cars or something like that, that would completely change things, which I don't think are happening anytime soon. I think that what we might end up seeing for the next while is more of the same that we've seen.
Jonathan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks very much for having me.
That's Jonathan English, PhD candidate in urban planning at Columbia University. He was with us today to talk about how our willingness to commute has shaped our cities and rural communities and what it tells us about what those places could look like in the future.